friends. Just thank you all for being here today. Just always so encouraged that people turn up for church. I really sense we're just in a season where across the Western church, the church is in decline, not just our church. All of the churches are reporting the same thing, 30, 40% of people reduced attendance. But I'm also so encouraged that God has people who are so hungry and so in. And, you know, I mourn for the people who could and should be here, and hopefully people will return who have been a part of this church community. But I'm also excited for what happens when you have a company of people who are really in, really love God, really want to serve God, and really want to see revival. But revival doesn't happen like out in the community, independent of the church. The revival happens in the church. The church needs to be revived, and we are the church, so we need to be revived. And I just say to God, you know, I want to be revived. I want to have all of you in my life. I want to have your goodness coming out in every opportunity I have of demonstrating your goodness, because that's what the world around us needs to know, that God is good and that he loves people, and to see what that love looks like. And for those who don't recognise this T-shirt, you probably weren't here a few weeks ago, and I just invite you to have a look at the message. It's on our website. And the question was posed, would you really love to live like Jesus? Would you really love to enjoy the freedom, the life that Jesus lived out of? And in order to do that, one of the key things is love. If you really want to, if you'd love to live like Jesus, then you just need to love to live like Jesus. And so today we're looking at two more really important questions, two of the most important questions that you can really ask yourself or ask someone else. And that is, what is it between you and God? Why do you love God if you love God? And how do you love God? So my sharing this morning is largely around these two questions. I just want to give you a couple of minutes. If you can just find somebody nearby you, just again, you're not going to get a complete thought. It's just those first thoughts of, why do you love God? If you explained to someone who didn't know anything about God, nothing to do with the church, why would you love this God that you love? And what does it look like? How do you love God? So while I go and get a drink, if you can just turn to someone and just share, why do you love God? How do you love God? Is that okay? Okay, I'd love to go around and canvas everyone's answers to those two questions, but what I want to do is look at the second question first. So I'm just going to ask a few people just to share, how do they love God? What does loving God look like? And again, it's such a broad question, such a broad answer. We're not going to kind of capture everything and anything. We're not comparing and judging how someone else loves God to how we love God, but just want to start with a few thoughts. So, Miriam, would you be willing to share? Bless you.
Thank you. Okay, I've thought about this, and the words that came to mind, because it's such a huge question, I just thought up words which to me are gentleness, grace, intimacy, reckless, risky love, and his powerful desire for connection with little old me.
Thanks, Miriam. Lachlan, can I get you to share? What does loving God look like for you?
I think in a really practical sense, part of it is responding and doing things the way that the Bible tells us to, like Tina was saying, and others this morning, is that when you know, crisis happens, choosing to not just do what our emotions say, but to trust that God actually knows what he's talking about and doing that. So it's that laying down of the flesh, I guess, and I show love that way. Also, you know, the Bible talks lots about, you know, looking after the fatherless and widows. So financially, I think that's showing God. But ultimately, in the third way, and those of you who remember the old Keith Green song, to obey is better than to sacrifice. So basically, obedience, when the Holy Spirit's talking to you, you show love to God by just listening to the promptings and doing it.
Beautiful. Thanks, Lockie. Get one person from this side. Benny.
Yeah. sorry, do you mind if I stand up? John 14, Jesus says to us three times, if you love me, obey my commands. In context, that was to the disciples in the upper room discourse, I think, is it, John? Who he loved so deeply. For 3 years, he taught these men how to walk with God and the things of God. It's not a to-do list or works. It's based in a loving relationship with God that we seek to conform our lives to his ways. Every morning I wake up and I say, Lord, I want to bless him. I love him. I want to bless him as a child. I want to bless the parent. You know, as a parent, when your child comes to you and says, Lord, you know, Dad, I want to do something to express love back to you. It touches your heart. And that's what Jesus is talking about, obey his commands. And so I wake up every morning and I say, Lord, could you give me a command, something to do to show you that I love you? I had one this morning. The Lord said, I was laying in bed and he said, hop out of bed and go for a walk. I didn't want to do it, but I said, Lord, I love you. I'm going to do it. So I hopped up and did that. Yesterday, very challenging circumstance where I was thrown under the bus. I was accidentally CC'd into an email being blamed for something, for a decision a CEO made. And the Lord said to me, if you love me, make allowance for others' faults. And instantly the peace of God fell upon me and I forgave and I learnt mercy and I showed mercy. But I did that because I love the Lord. And when we sow love to God, he sows it back to us in double measure. You cannot outgive God. And you feel the pleasure of God in your soul when you obey him. It's incredible. That's how I love the Lord.
Thanks, Ben. So I'm going to skim over this question. I've got a lot of Bible verses that I'm going to be putting up on the screen. I won't have time to read them. But just that reminder that God's word is his love story for humanity. And it's also our love manual to know how he loves us and how we are to love. But just going back to that, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest thing that people can do? And he said two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and your strength. And the other one is to love your neighbour as yourself. And as for those who were here last week, Matt talked about how they're inextricably linked. That's a big word. But you can't do one without the other. They're both mutually expressions, two sides of the same coin. But I want to start today by looking at loving God. And what does it look like to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength? If you want these verses, I can share them with you. So just let me know. But the first one, I want to go in reverse order. And the first one, loving God with all your strength. What does that look like? And the things that, you know, I just believe that everything that we can do can be an expression of love to God. And that encouragement in Colossians to work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Love God through all your work, all your study, all your chores, all your relationships, everything. An experience I had that I shared once before was at a morning tidy up a number of years ago, and in the afternoon, worked with Nigel putting up the overflow signs and had this awful prickly bush that no one else had picked up. And I had the trailer and my arms are getting shredded trying to grab the branches of this tree and get him in the trailer. I'm scratching my car and I was just like going, why do I have to do this? Why hasn't someone else done it? And I just felt God almost audibly say, here's your chance to worship me. It's like, so, you know, just the awful things that we get to do, anything and everything that we get to do, we can do out of love for God. Loving God with all our mind. What does that look like?
It's allowing God to speak to us to change the way we think. In Romans 12, that don't conform to the patterns and the thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind. Allow God to change the way that we think. And when Jesus came, he said, you've got to change the way you think because the kingdom of God's coming. You won't understand it. You won't be able to experience it if you don't change the way that you think. And he pleads for us to change the way we think, to consider life and make decisions from his perspective. Think about life the way God does. Think about yourself as a loved son, and that God is the center of all, and God doesn't waste anything, and nothing happens by chance, and God can use all things for our good. Loving God with all your soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. It's that inner part of us. And let's talk about mind. So talking about your will and your emotions. God wants us to love him authentically. I love what Tina shared. When things are going well and things are not going so well, God wants us to live life to the full, and that includes suffering. That includes frustration and difficulties. In our time in this life, we won't have that to deal with on the other side of death. God doesn't cause suffering, but he's so good and he's so loving that he even uses suffering to bless us. He won't waste it. And he wants us to be loved and to love well even during suffering and the frustrations and the heartaches of life. The other part of our soul is our will. It's our where we make our decisions in life. And it's only as Ben and Lockie shared, it's that choosing to live obediently. We do that with our soul, with our will. It's our soul, in our soul, that we make our intentional choices in life to align with God's design and God's desires and God's commands aren't things to make life difficult or so we don't have fun. They're to bless us as an expression of his love. And it's that will, that free will that God gives us is our ultimate choice in life is, do we love God? And people, do they love God or do they ultimately choose not to love God? There's one theological documentary that I watched that really proved this called Bruce Almighty. I don't know if anyone's seen it. But in the movie, Jim Carrey plays Bruce, who's a journalist who wants to be like the main newsreader at a TV station. And he has a really bad time and his difficulties and disappointments, he blames God for them. And so God invites to meet with him, Morgan Freeman, who else would you have playing God? And he meets with him and says, okay, Bruce, you want to have a go. You want to be me. So he gives Bruce the power to be God, to be able to change, influence things in the world and the responsibility of answering all the prayers in the world. And in the process of him taking on all the power of God, he'd use it to benefit himself. He also, the lead TV station, woman anchor person, kind of hits onto him, and his partner, Jennifer Aniston, playing the role of Grace, falls disappointed with him. And so Bruce, using his power of God, wants to win her back. So that's kind of the backdrop. Just watch a few minutes of Bruce Almighty.
Come, take a closer walk with me.
Let me explain the rules.
Rules?
Yeah, you left in such a rush, I didn't get a chance to explain.
Two extra fingers freaked me out a little bit.
I just figured I'd get your attention. I did the same thing to Gandhi. He didn't eat for 3 weeks. Anyway, here's the deal. You have all my powers. Use them any way you choose. There are only two rules. You can't tell anybody you're God. Believe me, you don't want that kind of attention. And you can't mess with free will.
Uh-huh. Can I ask why?
Yes, you can. That's the beauty of it.
Enjoying your party?
Nothing like spending quality time with great friends, huh?
Grace left me.
Yeah, I know.
She'll take me back. She'll take me back, right?
Would you take you back?
Oh,
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
A woman does pray a lot. Find Grace and Bruce. Dear God, please help Bruce find himself, find contentment, find you. Dear God, please help Bruce. He seems to be struggling. Dear God, give Bruce strength. Dear God, bless Bruce. Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. It's her. Sandy, it's her. She's logging on. She's praying right now. Grace.
Please, God. Please. I still love him. But I don't want to love him anymore. I don't want to hurt anymore. Please help me forget. Please help me let him go. Please help me let him go. Yeah, I gotta go.
Wait!
How do you feel now?
Have you completely lost your mind? What, are you drunk?
Yeah, I'm drunk. Drunk with power. Love me. Love me. Love me. Love me!
I did.
Yeah, I know, free will.
So profound. The one thing that we can't make anything, anybody do, and not, something that not even God can make us do, is love. It's a choice of our will. And so all of those things, loving God with all our heart, and I guess that just means to love God with every bit of us, wholeheartedly. And just in, you know, marriage is such a parallel to our relationship with God, and we want to... God wants us to have this mutual, wholehearted relationship. And God hates anything getting in between our relationship with him, and that's why he hates idols. God is a lovingly jealous God. He's not jealous in a human sense where we're insecure and jealous of someone else for his own benefit. He's unselfishly jealous for all the right reasons. He hates anything that comes in between us. He hates idols. And the idols are the thing that is going to stop us from our relationship growing with God. I just want to pause just for 30 seconds and just say, God, you just highlight any idols in our life. What is it that's stopping us to having a full, loving relationship with you all the time? Anything that comes to mind, please surrender that to God. I know for me, sport, media, the things that just dull my relationship with God. So we're loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I think there's so many other things. We love God by loving the things that he loves. God loves his creation. He wants us to enjoy his creation. He wants us to care for his creation, celebrate, be creative. Probably as much as anything, God loves people. God loves people more than anything else that he made. He said it was very good. And the person that you need to know he loves is yourself. He made you lovingly. And if God loves you so much, you really need to love yourself well. I'm going to talk about that next week. God also loves his church, his family. Someone once said, we don't come to a perfect church to worship God. We come to an imperfect church to worship a perfect God. And there's also a saying that you choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And that's the same with the church. It's God's choice. He chooses whoever he wants. And we're to love whoever he chooses. In other churches, in this church, people we get on well with or we don't naturally connect with, we need to love each other. And we love God by loving everyone else in the world. God, there's no one God doesn't desperately love in this world. We need to look at people around us through the loving eyes of God. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a couple of weeks' time. And we live most perfectly when we love those who we don't necessarily like or we don't get on with or we don't feel deserves love. That's perfect love. That's our opportunity to live perfectly. So why do we love God? Why should people love God? Can I just a couple of, a word from something that you said or your person you're talking with? What are the reasons why people love God? Can I just invite a few responses? Unchangeable, yeah. Why else? Why do you love God? How would you explain that to someone? Because he sent Jesus, yeah. He forgave you, yep. Because he first loved us. Because he loves us. Pardon? He's just so good to us. That's it. There are so many reasons, and again, it's a massive topic, and I'm just skimming over the surface just to consider. And I don't have all the answers, and I don't think we'll ever have an end to the answers to these two questions. But we love God. Some of the thoughts I just wanted for you to consider, that he is perfect. He is just so good. He's perfectly good, perfectly loving all the time. Everything good comes from God. Everything about God is just ridiculously good. Even to those who don't love him. He's just so kind to them. He still provides for them. He still cares for them. He still desires them, pursues them. We also love God because he's our creator. He's our sustainer. Jesus created everything. Jesus was the creator of everything that you see and all the stuff you don't see. Everything was created through him and for him. Everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. And I'm just so encouraged by that phrase. And you just think about all the stuff that people worry about in this world. Political upheaval and wars and economic disaster and political challenges and technology. And where's life going? Does Jesus worry about that? He's concerned about it. But he created everything for himself. Jesus will bring people back to himself. The church will not die away. Christianity is, there's as many Christians as there's ever been in all of the history. There's more Christians alive today than have ever lived since the time of Christ. Now, Christianity is alive and well. In the West, we're struggling with a few other competing idols and ideologies, but everything exists for Jesus. We also love him because he delights in us. He just loves us. I love the quote from Meister Eckhart that we were born out of the laughter of the Trinity. In the core of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father, gives birth to the Spirit. The whole Trinity laughs and gives birth to us. All things love God. God loves you. God just delights over you. He sings over you. He loves you so much, regardless of whether you love him back or not. But as a few people have pointed out, probably the main reason God wants us to love him is because he first loved us. God loves you, not just the person next to you, but you. He knows you, he loves you, faults and all. He loves you more than anyone ever will. And we love God because he showed how much he loved us, as Michael said, but sending Jesus. That's real love, not that we love God, but that he loves us. God is love, and all who live loving, live in God, and God lives in them. Amen. So we're going to take communion in just a second, and I want to play a song that just always brings me to tears, just to remind me of God's perfect love. Because he did. He showed perfect love. How much more could God show that he loved us than Jesus on the cross? He didn't need to be killed. He could have talked his way out of it in a second. But he put up with it. He got flogged as the worst criminal could be flogged, whipped with an inch of his life, tortured to death, left naked in the most humiliating way to be killed, most painful way to be killed, and he allowed it. He chose that death for us. It wasn't somebody else killing him. He allowed himself to be killed that way because of the joy set before him. Because he knew that if he did that, we have the opportunity of coming into relationship with him. We have the opportunity, every person on the planet has the opportunity because of his act of love to come into relationship with God. So as we share in the communion, you've got your little wafer and cup to share. And I just want to just play a song and then lead that into worship in just a moment. But this song just so reminds me of what happened when I accepted the love, the perfect love of God. And Jesus took me out of a young man who was just living a life of life-controlling behaviours that weren't helpful to me and no sense of identity. And I didn't deserve God's love. But I was desperate. I had nowhere else to go. So I accepted it. And it's just transformed me. And it's his perfect love that sustains me and grows me. So can I invite you just in your own time, just, and as this song goes, just I want you to ask God, how do you want me to love you? How? What is God? What is love? What does he invite you to do that looks like love? So if we could play that. Thanks, Michelle.
Perfect. Spend my whole life chasing perfect. Fall down, beat myself up, repeat. Fall down, beat myself up, repeat. Head bowed, guilty whispers in my ear now. Messed up is all you're ever gonna be. Fall down, beat myself up, repeat. Something happened when you called my name. Called my name. Lifted up my head and all my shame washed away when I perfect. There's just mercy. The more I live, the less I understand. Oh, I'm the reason for your nail-scarred hands. Freedom, oh, your scars, they are my freedom. I'll never know why you paid my price. All I know is that you changed my life when you prayed. No such thing.
So can I invite us to respond? If I can invite you to stand to your feet, and if Joe and Millie and Paulette can come and just let us an opportunity to respond with our words, with our heart. This worship thing isn't something, if I could invite Zach to come up, he's just going to share something as well. But God doesn't want us to worship him because he's insecure, that we need to stroke his ego. He wants us to worship for our benefit. That's just how good he is. When we worship, we get to remind ourselves of who God really is, how good he is, who he wants to be for us, who we are in him. So we're empowered to live the way he wants us to. We worship him out of love for him, but it allows us to experience his love in new ways. Can you just share your experience of love? Can I invite us just to stand and be prepared to respond? Thanks.
Yeah, as we were praying this morning over the service, I was just reminded by God of some times that I've had, some really foundational times that I've had in worship, which has stirred up within me a love for God, which no amount of, thinking or study or action could do. There's something special that comes in worship, and there's something special that comes in stepping outside of our comfort zone and choosing to worship God, because it's not about us, it's all about him. It's all for him. And so when I was in youth, when I started coming along to youth, we had a youth camp, and worship just always like went off at youth camp. It was so good. And I remember this one time though, we had worship, and you know, you have the hypey songs and then you go down into the slower songs. And I just kept, me and a few others just stayed in worship. And eventually people started going off. Eventually people started going off to get hot chocolates and supper and all that kind of thing. And then there was, and even the worship band started to leave. And there was just a few of us left who just kept singing to God, kept worshiping to God. And as we did, something broke. As there was something within me, and I assume the others in the room as well, and even in the atmosphere, there's something that broke as we pushed through and as we chose to say, I'm going to keep singing to you, God, because you are so worthy of worship. You are so worthy of my praise. There was something that stirred up within me of the majesty and the worthiness of God as I chose to worship. And I know that for some people, worship, musical worship, because we know worship, worship's really diverse, but musical worship can sometimes be uncomfortable, and sometimes it can be tempting for us to say that it's not my thing. But I really want to encourage you that even if it's not your thing, to put yourself out there and to sing a little louder than you would normally sing, and to step a little further forward than you would normally step, because there is something that shifts in our perspective of who God is, and that is so sustainable. It's like I said, it was something that was foundational for me in my journey with God, in my loving of God. It's something that sticks with me today, and it's something that I treasure, and I treasure in my heart and always will. And so I just feel I want to pray for us as we step into worship, and I want to put the invitation out to you to step outside of your comfort zone and to worship God as we in this next moment. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so, so good. You are so worthy to be praised. You are far greater than anything we could ever dream of or imagine. So I pray that you would stir within us something of your majesty, something of your beauty, something of who you are that exceeds anything that we could ever dream of or imagine. Any experience that I've had of your goodness and your glory and your worthiness of worship, may that be given to everyone here, and may we together have a foundational experience of your worthiness in worship. May this be a moment we can remember as we step outside of our comfort zones and into something special, something new, something of you. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.